Amen. Thank you very much, Miss Mary. The King's Kids and Track Club can be dismissed at this time. What game are we playing tonight? I thought you were going to play upside down nine-square. I saw that out there. Amen. If you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we'll be in Matthew chapter number 6. I'm going to be honest with you. It feels very good to stand behind the pulpit and not feel sick as a dog. Now I very much appreciate being healthy behind this pulpit because I felt like I was just trying to suffer through Sunday morning because I wasn't feeling very good. But thank you all for pretending like you were listening because, whew. But I thank the Lord. I'm feeling better, doing much better. I'm excited to preach to you tonight. Matthew chapter 6. I will read verses 5 through 15. You can remain seated tonight as we're considering the thought, the path to powerful prayer. The path to powerful prayer. And if we are all honest with ourselves, we can probably pray better and pray more. That just like Bible reading, see, a lot of times, if you're like me, I'll find time to do one and not the other if I'm not careful, because the devil tries to bombard our day with so many things to prevent us from reading our Bible and prevent us from having some quality time in prayer with the Lord, because he knows how effective it is and how powerful it is and how it empowers us. And we all have access to be amazing prayer warriors. Did you know that you don't have to be a God-called man standing behind a pulpit before 1,000 people to be a prayer warrior? Some of the greatest prayer warriors I know, that nobody knows who they are, that they can't really do much physically, but their ministry is prayer. And that's what they do. They pray, and God honors that, and God blesses that. And in heaven, I believe a lot of us are going to take a back seat to a lot of people like that who are prayer warriors. But we can be prayer warriors. We can pray with power. But when we'll talk about that, and the big part of that is praying in God's will. But we'll talk about that a little later on. So Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 5 through 15, thinking about the path to powerful prayer. The Bible says in verse number 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites," or that literally means pretenders, "are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you asking you to cleanse me of sin, Lord. Empty me of myself and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, you're high and holy. Lord, and like Brother Fry's song says, you're the Lord of glory. And Lord, we come before you as humbly as we know how, seeking your grace to rightly divide your word tonight. That's all I want to do. Pray to help me to rightly divide it. And I pray that you would open the ears of your people to hear what you have to say to us. And I pray you would give me and everyone in this room the grace to put into practice what we are going to study tonight in your word. Lord, you want us to be men and women of prayer. Lord, you want us to be men and women of powerful prayer. Lord, you want to answer our prayers. Just please show us tonight clearly how to pray correctly so we can have your power behind our prayers. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you for shedding your blood on Calvary's cross for our sins. Once again, please forgive us where we fail you and help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at the text before us tonight, thinking about the path to powerful prayer, the first thing that we're going to look at as we hop right in, I'm going to try to be as brief as possible, but number one, we will see we must pray for the right purpose. Pray for the right purpose. And we'll see what I mean by that as we look at verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites or the pretenders are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." Why? "That they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So I say, number one, pray for the right purpose, because Jesus was speaking of, in verse number 5, religious leaders and Pharisees who were literally praying so they could be seen. Not heard by God, but seen by man. That's why it says at the end of that verse, "Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward." What that means by what their reward is, they are rewarded in the sense that the people around that saw them probably thought that they were super spiritual people, and their reward was the people probably were in awe of their prayers and their clothes and the way they did it, a kind of a religious ritual. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to pray for man to think I'm something special. Because if that's all my prayer achieves, then my prayer achieves absolutely nothing. So we've got to pray for the right purpose. And obviously, and this we would think this is elementary to prayer, but so many times people are like these Pharisees, praying for the wrong purpose, for the wrong reasons. But we should want to pray and pray so that we can get a hold of God. We need God. We're going to see we need God every second of every day. And every second that He is not giving us grace to live the Christian life is an opportunity for us to fall flat on our face and dishonor Him. We need God. So when we pray, may God help us to get away from our pride and it be to get a hold of God and not put on a show in front of man. I mean, even when you're praying in public. And we're going to see here, we must pray for the right purpose, and proof that you are praying for the right purpose, we see here in our text, proof of that is, first you see you have the right posture. Posture. Look what it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Pray with the right posture. This religious leader, the religious leaders that are being referenced, you remember the story or the account of a religious leader, a Pharisee, standing and praying and out where everybody could hear him, and said, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this publican, all loud and putting on a show." And then how did the publican pray? It says he didn't so much as raise his head to heaven. His posture was a posture of humility. His posture was one that he realized who he was coming before in prayer, and he realized that he didn't deserve to be heard by God. And so we've got to have a posture of prayer, coming to God in humility, because we're coming before the God of the universe when we pray. Now, the Bible says we can come before the throne of grace boldly as children of God, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't come humbly. Well, it doesn't mean we shouldn't come bowing before God. Now, you don't necessarily have to pray on your knees with your head bowed, but wherever you're praying, when you pray, it should be in a posture of humility. We're praying before the God of the universe that does not owe us to hearing or answering our prayer. So we got to have the right posture, but also that you pray in the right place. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Remember, the religious leader, the one praying out in the open to be heard by man, got his reward by people thinking he was super spiritual. But the Bible says here, if we have the right posture and we pray in the right place, that our Father which seeth in secret will reward us openly. God will bless what we're doing. And that's what we should want. We should want God's blessing upon our lives, upon our marriages, upon our families, upon our children, upon our church. That's what we should want. But to do that, we've got to pray in the right posture, in the right place. It says here, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean every time you pray that you got to go find the closest closet. Well, although it is good to have a spot that you pray in. It's good to have a place. Anybody ever seen the movie War Room? That's a wonderful, wonderful movie. Very good movie. And in that movie, the main actor, Miss Priscilla Shire, Tony Evans' daughter, had a place in her house where that spot was designed specifically for prayer. And that's good to have. Because you saw in that movie, when she was in there, all distractions were removed. And the only thing she did, only thing in there that she could focus on was prayer. And it's good to have a physical place to do that. But we need to get to where, no matter where we pray, be that in a closet or in public, no matter where it is, we're getting alone with God. That's what we need to do. When we pray, we need to pray it's just between us and God. We're not trying to put on a show for men to hear our words or our eloquent speech, but we're trying to get a hold of God, humbling ourselves before Him, and we're praying like it's us and God. That's what we got to do. We got to pray in secret. Pray humbly. We've got to come before God with the right posture and in the right place. So we see we must pray for the right purpose, not to be heard of man, but to be heard by God. But secondly, we must be pure or genuine. Be pure or genuine. Verse 7 and 8. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. So when we think about being pure, I want to say first we need to be personable. See, when it says here, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. That's people just coming with their heart and head not in it. They're just saying the words like different denominations and religious systems of the world today. They say a lot of words and they call it praying, but their head and their heart is not in it. They're not focused on it. They're just repeating the things they're told to repeat. And when I say be personable, realize you're talking to God. Speak like you're speaking to God. Speak like you're speaking to your heavenly Father. Be personable. God is our Father. The psalmist called Him Abba, Daddy. He's our heavenly Father. We need to be personable and we need to get to the point. What I mean by that is vain repetitions. They said for a long time and many times the same thing over and over and over again just to say it. Hey, when we pray, especially when you're praying along, there's no need to use eloquent speech unless you just like speaking like that. Get to the point with God. God doesn't care how you sound. He doesn't care what words you use. He just wants you to have your heart in it and focused on Him and speaking to Him. We've got to be pure. We've got to be genuine. We've got to, because He knows what we have need of. We don't have to repeat ourselves a million times. But when we think of be pure, and I talk about get to the point, I want to also say number three, I don't want to skip past this, and this isn't in our text, but I wanted to add this in here. We need to be persistent. I don't want you to get me confused when I say get to the point that we shouldn't, because it says there in verses 7 and 8, it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So they say the same thing over and over and over again with no heart or head in it. But we need to be persistent in prayer. What I mean by that is we need to be faithful. See, when I mean persistent in prayer, when I think of that, I think of me and my family praying for my papaw. We prayed for my papa. I prayed for my grandfather to be saved before I was saved because my mom and dad wanted me to pray for him to be saved. So I did. And we did it. And we continue to do it. And when I think of persistent prayer, that's prayer that your heart's burdened about. Prayer that you consistently are begging God for. And God, that grabs the heart of God. When God sees your faithfulness to pray for something that you're burdened about, that I believe His ear is specially in tune to that. And I think that's why a lot of people, including myself in my spiritual walk, that I've not seen God do things necessarily that He wants to do because maybe I came up one prayer short from where God wanted me to be. That remember, I believe it's in Hosea 10, chapter 10, verse 12. It talks about at the end of that, where it talks about break up your fallow ground and get ready for rain. He said, and it talks about the end, and pray till He come and rain righteousness upon you. See, do we do that? A lot of times we don't. A lot of times we pray and we pray and we pray and we pour our heart and soul into it, and then we don't see any results, so we want to stop. But we need to be persistent in prayer, church. We need to be faithful. When we get a burden, we need to be faithful and to pray for that. We see in reference to that, you know what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, right? It's a long one. I got that one memorized, Brother Glenn. Pray without ceasing. That means we need to constantly be in a mindset of prayer. Church, we need God. Every step I take, whether I realize it or not, I need the Lord. Everywhere I go, the devil is ready to attack. Everywhere we turn, there's temptation and trials where we need the Lord. That's why we need to constantly pray without ceasing. Always be in a mindset of prayer. And you know how you get yourself where you're praying consistently is do it when things are good. We need to pray over the big things and over the little things. We need to pray over everything. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. It doesn't say in the big matters. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, the Bible says. Why? Because when you acknowledge Him consistently in the little things, your natural response in the hard times will be to acknowledge God and cry out to Him first. That will be the response. We've got to pray without ceasing. And we see in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, a good example of a persistent prayer. It says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And He would not for a while. But afterward He said within Himself, Though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Listen to what He said. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" We see here a parable of a woman who goes to a lost man who is a judge, and she went. At first, he wouldn't do it, but yet she continued to go, and he said, "This lady's going to aggravate me to death." And because of her persistence, he did what she asked. And God says, if an unjust judge will listen to the requests of a woman because of her persistence, he said, we need to be the same way with our prayers to God. When we've got a lost family member that doesn't know the Lord, we need to be persistent in prayer for that person or those people. We need to faithfully do it. God says that He will hear our prayers. And the Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you have been praying for a lost family member for a long time and not seeing any fruit, it's God's will that they be saved. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. God hears your prayer. We've got to be persistent in our prayers. So we've got to pray for the right purpose. We've got to be pure. We need to be persistent. And here's the bulk of the message tonight. We need to prioritize our prayers. We need to prioritize our prayers in verses 9 through 15. The first thing I want to point out, when we begin our prayers, we need to recognize God's position. We need to recognize, I've heard a lot of people suggest when you come to prayer, if you have time, to stop and be silent for a few moments and consider what you're doing, really. You're coming before the God of the universe. The one who created everything that we see, who sustains it all, who saved our soul, forgave our sins, were engraved in the palm of His hands, and He's seated on the throne of heaven, and we're coming before God to speak to Him. Used to, that wasn't possible. But remember, because of Christ's death, the veil was rent, and we can come directly to God. And I thank God for that. I praise God that we don't have to go through a man. We can go straight to God through Christ. But we see here, we got to recognize God's position. It says in verse number 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye men." Remember, I won't dwell on this, but remember, this is the model prayer. Not the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. But we see here, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father which art in heaven." We need to recognize His position. See, if we're not careful, we rush into prayer. We go straight into what we're going to ask for. And then we say amen. But God wants our prayers, my prayers, to be a time of communion with Him. That's what God wants it to be. He wants that. That's what our Bible reading should be. That's what our prayer should be. Our prayers is us speaking to God, and our reading the Bible is God speaking to us. And one of the best ways to pray is to pray God's word back to Him. And that's one thing to do. You want to recognize God's position and recognize who God is. Get scriptures, maybe write them down, that talk about who God is. And there's scriptures, all kinds of scriptures about who God is. Hey, tell God that God's the one person that you can brag on and glorify and uplift, and it's just and it's okay, and He's worthy of it. And we can do it the rest of our life if all we did was praise God in our prayers and recognize Him for who He is and what He's done. That's all that we could go all eternity and still not have done it enough. We need to recognize God's position. The Bible says, Psalm 145, verse 3, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." There's a verse right there. We can come to God. I mean, that kind of piggybacks to the next point, but we can come to God and say, "Lord, You're great. You're wonderful. You're holy. You're righteous." God likes to hear that, and He's worthy of it. See, if we were to say that to somebody today, we'd think, well, you're just going to puff them up. No, God's worthy of it. He deserves it, actually. And if that's what our prayers should be filled with. So we got to recognize God's position. But then, secondly, and piggybacking off that verse, we got to begin our prayers with praise or penitence. And I'll deal with penitence first. We can't go straight into praise of God if we've got sin in our heart that's undealt with. You got to get that dealt with and out of the way first. The Bible says in Psalm 66, 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If we want to be heard by God, we need to get our sins confessed out in the open so that we can move on to the praise of God. The Bible also says, we know this verse well, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He'll do it, but we've got to confess it. If we want to get a hold of God, our prayer after we recognize His position, if we've got sin undealt with, it needs to begin with penitence, confession, but then it needs to go into praise of our Lord. And I encourage you, when you have the time, and the devil will fight to keep you from having that kind of time, but when you have the time, just say, "I'm going to pray right now," and just praise God. Just thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He's done. That's a powerful time of prayer. Yeah, I mean, you've been here at Mount City Baptist when we, like, Super Thankful Wednesday. God blesses those services. You know why? All we came to do that night is to eat, but also, most importantly, just to brag on God. And God, when you brag on the Lord, when you lift Him up, what's the Bible say? "When I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." So that's why a lot of churches aren't seeing
any fruit and change lives and save souls because we're not lifting Christ up. Maybe that's why we're not seeing much going on in our lives, because we're not lifting Him up in our lives and in our prayers. We need to begin with praise. It says, "Hallowed be thy name." Our prayer needs to begin with praise. And if that's all we have time to do, that's fine. We're going to read here in a moment. The Lord knows what we need. He knows what we need. And we're going to read it in a little while, but Matthew 6:33 talks, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And we'll get to that in just a moment. So we got to recognize God's position. Begin with praise or penitence if we've got sin that's undealt with. Then we've got to pray according to God's plan. Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Remember, our prayer is not getting our will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. Yet another huge reason why it's important that we know the Word of God. We can't pray His will if we don't know His Word, right? But that's how we pray according to His plan. Because as we read, and when I say pray according to His plan, we don't say, "Lord, I hope this is Your will." Although sometimes we pray for something, we say, "Lord, I pray this is Your will. And if it's not, give us the grace to trust You through it." But we've got a book loaded with God's will. We've got a lot that we can pray specifically and know it's the will of God. And when we pray God's will, the Bible says in 1 John, we dealt with this, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence, assurance that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," we know His will from His word, "He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Pray in His word. Pray in His will, which is His word, and you know that your prayer will be answered because you're praying the will of God. That's why we see here in our passage, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And the more we speak to God, and the more we spend time in prayer, the more our heart will have a desire to see His kingdom grow on earth. That's why we do what we do, to grow Christians. We want to see lost people saved as well, but we want to grow Christians so they'll go out, they'll fulfill the Great Commission, and God's kingdom will grow. And when you get a burden in prayer for lost souls, you're praying the will of God. When you get a burden to pray for Pastor Daniel and all the missionaries we support, they're sharing the gospel around the world. You're praying for God's kingdom to come and to grow. God hears that prayer, and God wants to bless that prayer and answer that prayer. So we see here, we got to pray according to God's plan. And then next, we pray, and I'll put this word in here specifically, pray briefly for God's provision. Briefly. Notice the shortest part of the prayer in verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Period. Don't dwell on that. I mean, I know we have needs and we worry about them, but when our focus is God and His will and His word and His kingdom, we will trust His word, which we're going to read at the end of this same chapter, 31 through 33. It says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat?" Don't worry about your needs being met, of you having to eat food, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Don't worry about your needs. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what we need. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. Once again, God wants us to invite Him into the situation because we're trusting Him for the needs. But don't let us praying for our needs be the bulk of our prayers. And if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, that's how it is a lot of times. Because we got so many needs and so many things on our mind that we want God to help us with or help other people with. And we pray for our needs. But God knows what we need. He knows. But that verse goes on to say, it says,
Don't worry about your needs. The Lord knows what you need. Before the Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Make our first priority and our focus in our prayer God's will, and praising God and focusing on Him. And as we focus on Him, we will remember, we will worry less about our needs. I think the reason, a lot of times the reason I worry more about my needs than I should, or any at all, is because I'm not focusing on Christ like I should. If we would begin our prayers, that's why I'm not going to read it. I read it all the time, but Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, it basically says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The peace comes because in that prayer, we give it to God. We get specific with God. But where the peace comes from, I believe, is when you give it to God and then you begin to worship God in the midst of that. That's when the peace comes. With thanksgiving is the key. Worship and praise and glorification of Christ, taking your eyes off of your problem, putting them on Jesus, that's where the peace comes from. That will revolutionize our prayer if our prayer is just filled with Jesus and His Word and His will and the salvation of souls and the growing of His kingdom. We'll forget about our needs. And it won't matter because God knows what we need. And we'll ask Him for it. We say, God, or just say, Lord, I'm trusting You to meet my needs. You know what I need. Please meet my needs. But I'm going to focus this prayer time on You and Your will. And that's when I believe something special begins to happen. So we got to pray briefly for God's provision. Then next, we got to pray for purification. Pray for purification. And a good way to start that part of the prayer, we see in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. I read this all the time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Pray for purification. Look at our passage of scripture here. It says, verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now there's a very specific requirement here. And I talked about something like this with one of you the other night, and I didn't even plan on it being in the message tonight. But as we think about praying for purification first, it requires mercy on our part. We want God to be merciful and forgive us. It requires mercy of us. Look what our scripture says here before us. And look at verse 15. We read verse 12. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty plain. You got to forgive in order to be forgiven. And really what that means is, if you forgive, it shows that you have been forgiven. That's what that means. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith them, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, there's different math equations. There are different math that comes up on that. I heard one preacher say that it could be approximately $16 million. The point isn't the amount of money. The point is that that's an unpayable debt. The point is that the debt that this person owed is unpayable. That's the point of what we see here. 10,000 talents, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Then it says, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So this man humbled himself before God. It says capital L Lord, but humbled himself before his Lord in the parable here. He humbled himself, asking for forgiveness from his Lord, and his Lord had compassion and gave it. And what's that a picture of?
It's a picture of salvation. We owed a debt that we could not pay. You've heard the song. It's so just true. We owe a sin debt that we cannot pay. So God, when we humbled ourselves before Him, He paid it for us on the cross. And when we humbled ourselves before Him, it was paid in full. The debt was forgiven. The debt was paid, not by anything of our own, but because the Lord chose to forgive it, because Jesus paid the debt for us. So we see here that this man's unpayable debt was paid. But look, it says, but the same servant, the guy that was forgiven an unpayable debt, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And you see me hold my finger here because I made the type too small. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. So let me go back and read that. But the same servant went out and found his fellow servant who owed him 100 pence. Another guy did the math on that, said it was somewhere around like $16. The guy was just forgiven $16 million. And yet this guy owes him $16. And he's flipping his lid over it. I mean, that sounds foolish, does it not? But that's how we are when we're not willing to forgive somebody in our life. Well, you don't know how they hurt me, Pastor Tyler. You don't know what they did to me. But we got to remember, see, when we get hot in that moment, we poke our chest out and we get mad and say, I won't forgive them. Remember what we did to Jesus to put him on the cross. We owed a debt we could not pay, but him in compassion went and took it all on himself, knowing some would reject him, but yet he took it, had mercy upon him. You know what mercy means? Because I said that in the point, it requires mercy. Mercy means giving what is not deserved. Or actually, let me rephrase that. Not giving what is deserved, I should say. That's what mercy is, not giving what is deserved. Christ, we deserve hell. We deserve it. This servant owed $16 million, deserved to be thrown in prison. He owed a debt he could not pay. He would never be able to pay it. But his Lord had mercy. He did not give him what he deserved. And that's the way we need to be. When somebody has wronged us, and most of the time it's legitimate wrongs that we harbor for so long. And what we don't realize a lot of times, it's not hurting them, it's hurting us when we harbor that anger, that resentment, that unforgiveness. That doesn't hurt them at all. It hurts us. But we need to not give them what they deserve. Have mercy upon them. They maybe rightfully so deserve our anger. But we need to have mercy upon them. We need to give grace to them. Unmerited favor. That's what they need from us. Because that's what we have been given. We have been forgiven a greater debt than anyone will ever owe us, no matter if they wrong us in the worst possible way on planet Earth. We are commanded, no matter what the situation, no matter how bad it is, to forgive. Because we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven an unpayable debt. And because of that, by God's grace, we must forgive. And that's another situation where in our flesh, we won't do it. Our flesh, if we're controlled by the flesh, we won't forgive. We'll stew. And we'll fester, and we'll get mad. We'll hold a grudge for the rest of our lives. I know some people that were in church. I've heard people I know where their parents were in church, faithful, serving, and they got mad at somebody, and they held that grudge. They never came back to church, and they went to their grave, having not forgiven the person that had wronged them. All it did was hurt the person that didn't forgive. And the Bible says if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive. And when we forgive, it shows that we have been forgiven. And if we won't forgive, we'd have to take a serious look at our standing before God. If you can and won't, and you stay persistent with it, forgive somebody, I would check up. That's what the Bible says here. If you are to be forgiven, you will forgive. And that account goes on and I won't read the whole text there, but that man that is talking to the one that owes him $16, he said, well, I'm going to throw you in prison until you pay every bit of it. And then the king, the Lord, catches wind of that and says, I forgave you an unpayable debt. And you're throwing a fit over this little piddly amount.
He said, okay, I'm going to make you pay all your debt. And he throws him in prison. That's what happens in that account of Matthew 18, 21 through 35. So we pray for purification, requires mercy, requires grace on our part. But when we show mercy, we show unmerited favor, we don't give them what they do deserve, it results in mercy to us. Look what the Bible says, verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If we want verse number 12 to be a reality in our life, we've got to forgive. And that is impossible apart from God doing it through us. That's another reason why we need God constantly. We need Him. So we must pray for purification. And then next, we must pray for power over sin. Power over sin or temptation. Beginning of verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yet another thing. Apart from God's grace, the next sin opportunity that comes up, we'll take it. We still are living in our flesh. And apart from us allowing God to control us, we are capable of doing anything. Any sin you can think of, we're capable of it, apart from God's grace empowering us to say no. We are. That's another reason why we need to prevent opportunity and temptation from meeting. Because when they do, that's when it gets dangerous. We need to pray God to give us the power to say no, but we also need to be smart and not put ourselves in the situation. You say, well, I prayed for God to fill me. Now I'm going to go sit and hang out with people at a bar. I'm not going to drink, though. I prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound very smart, does it? We need to pray that God would empower us, but we need to also, and we can ask Him for the grace to give us the grace to avoid sinful situations. Now, there's some things we're going to come up on not prepared for. There's a lot of stuff, if we're honest with ourselves, we put ourselves there. I put myself there. I say we a lot. Me. I do. We could avoid it. And I think the closer we get to God, the more we speak to Him in prayer, the more we get into His Word, I think the more we'll see the off-ramps. You know what I'm saying? But we got to stay close and near to Him. Got to pray for power over sin. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to be controlled by Him. We need to ask God for that. Or really surrender to God for that. That's what we need to do there. So we need to pray for power over sin. And finally, we need to close with praise. Our prayer needs to begin and end with worship of the Lord. And what that really means, it needs to be encompassed with praise. That should be the focus, the goal, the desire of our prayers is praise. It says, at least not a temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's how we need to pray. If we'll pray for the right purpose, if we'll be genuine, and if we'll be pure, if we'll be persistent, and if we'll prioritize our prayers like we have. And this gives us a very clear outline to pray. And I've heard some people that pray these exact words, and sometimes it may be good to do that. But I encourage you to maybe have this prayer written down and broken down and break down your prayers. Be intentional with your prayer time. Come to your prayer time with a prayer list. Come to your prayer with an outline to pray. So you know, and over time, as you do it more, it'll become second nature. And you won't run in, Heavenly Father, I need this, please answer this prayer. Love you, Lord. Amen. But we'll come ready to worship God, ready to praise God. And our prayers, and who knows, our prayers may be a little shorter because when we worship the Lord, we focus on Him. We're not focused on us and our needs, but on His will and His kingdom. I believe we'll get to the point. And the closer we get to God, the more sensitive we are to the will of God. We can get right down the nitty gritty and we don't have to pray in vague, like, Lord, if I've sinned, I talked about that. Let's skip past that and say, Lord, forgive me for this. Not say, if I've sinned. We have. Now we need to pray that psalm and say, Lord, show me so I can point it out and get rid of it, confess it and forsake it. That's the path to powerful prayer. God wants our prayers to be very powerful. He wants to answer our prayers. And as we pray in His will, He will answer our prayers. And as he answers our prayers, our faith will grow. It'll drive us to pray more. I believe it'll give us a burden to pray more, to draw nearer to him in our prayers. It's an ending cycle of the Lord demonstrating his faithfulness and our faith growing. And I believe that will just strengthen our prayers even more. So that is the path to powerful prayer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a clear outline on how to pray. Thank you, Lord, you made it clear, because if you didn't, I believe we would struggle with it. And we still do, even though we have it. But, Lord, I do. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be intentional, to pray correctly. But most of all, Lord, to uplift and glorify your holy name. Because you're worthy of my praise if that's all I did the rest of my life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to get in your word even more. I pray you'd show me your will in your word. You'd give me the grace to pray your word. And as I pray your word promises that you will hear and you will answer. Lord Jesus, I love you. Please help us now to put to practice what we've just heard, myself included. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Look at that. 4 minutes to spare. Never happens.